Your conference is being recorded.
Well, welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining today's call. This is our first conference call for our last advanced learning event for the program cycle, which runs from September through till about May. And this is probably the last one for you, Thorsten, right? And also probably for Courtney. So that's pretty exciting for you guys. And this one shouldn't be as onerous as the last one. So the evaluation one is probably the hardest learning event that I have, the most demanding, and this one should be a little bit more fun, hopefully. We'll see. So this is SV 101, Find and Keep Volunteers, and I'm in Calgary. I neglected to look up what traditional territory I'm on, so my apologies for that. Anyways, I will find that out and let you know later. So as slide four shows, in this learning event, we're going to come to value the role of volunteers in today's society, understand what motivates our community recreation volunteers, and describe strategies that we can use to find and keep volunteers. And I think volunteers has been a hot topic for, we're probably coming up to about 30 years now. So we haven't found any answers, but hopefully by sharing some of your experiences, we might have some good suggestions for each other. So this learning event, I think the three of you on the call have all finished the last learning event, all the requirements. So this one you actually have until May 9th to complete the activities. Oh, no, that doesn't make sense. It should be 2 weeks longer than that. So it would be until about May 25th. So before getting too far into the call, let's do a quick round of introductions. I know there's only four of us on the call, and we probably all know each other, but I do have a question for you in the introductions. So I'd like to just get you to say your name and your community again, and then describe a volunteer experience that you've had. What did you do as a volunteer? And what did you get out of it? And I'll post that in the chat, and I'll answer it first. I'm wondering if we can just go the order we joined the call, but I won't do that all the time because that would put Thorsten on the spot the whole time. So after myself, maybe we'll go Thorsten, Spider, Courtney, and then if anyone else joins the call, they can jump in after that. So as you guys know, I'm Caroline, and I live in Whitehorse. During the 2012 Arctic Winter Games, I was the venue coordinator for biathlon. They were held in Whitehorse that year. And it was a pretty big commitment. It was pretty interesting because the Russians bringing rifles in without permission and things like that had to deal with a few of those sorts of things. But it was really rewarding because I was, as a venue coordinator, I was able to play a role in the experience of not only athletes, which is what I'd done before as a coach, but also coaches, officials, and volunteers. And as I mentioned, I learned a lot about the challenges of transporting firearms internationally. So that was my volunteer experience and what I got out of it. Can we go to Thorsten next?
Yeah, hi, it's Thorsten here, and I'm in Yellowknife this week. I'm with the Canadian women's sledge hockey team for the last 2 days and today, and then we'll start with hockey, NWT, the ID camp for the Canada Winter Games. And I'm helping here with some media, some social media pictures and videos, and I think a volunteer experience for me is just sitting on different boards and just having that experience from when you have a chair, how the chair is running it, and getting that information, how the dynamic is on the board itself, and some know more about governance, some know more about finances, some know more about any other things that are running in the national or territorial sports organization. So, yeah, I think that's what I get out of it.
Oh, that's great. Thanks, Thorsten. It is quite a broad experience being on a board, especially when you're with a variety of different people. So, and have fun with the Canada Winter Games ID camp. That sounds exciting, too. So over to you, Spider, if you'd like to introduce yourself, share a volunteer experience, and what you felt that you got out of it.
Good morning. My name is Spider Jones. I work at Sport North Federation. I'm a multi-sport executive director for NWT Athletics and NWT Amateur Wrestling. Where I volunteer at present, I sit on the board of directors for NWT Tennis. And there at the moment, I'm part of their high performance committee trying to get some mental resiliency training for the kids heading to Canada Summer Games. I'm also the president of Squash, but been doing that for the last 10 plus years and very much enjoy that. Also interesting that I sit nationally on a couple of committees. One is a selection committee member that reviews applications of people who want to join the board of the national sport organization, Squash Canada. So it's been very cool to be part of the room with some very seasoned business people and some somewhat seasoned squash people to figure out what skill set they're bringing to the national board. So I've enjoyed that and that process. And there I try to take what I've learned when hockey is interviewing its coaches to that process to see if some of the same structure could be used as we interview wannabe Squash Canada board members. And then in turn, a recommendation is made to the membership, those who get to vote at Squash Canada's AGM, as to who might be the stronger candidates for assuming a board position. So that's very cool and a learning opportunity for me.
Well, that sounds great. Thanks for sharing that. And over to you, Courtney. I'm not sure if you're on. Oh, there you go.
I was on mute, yeah. So my name's Courtney. I'm the manager of community recreation at Kwalandun First Nation in Whitehorse, Yukon. And I volunteer with the Yukon Canoe and Kayak Club. So helping with the youth nights and also helping with the women's kayaking nights. So that is a really rewarding experience. I think some of the things I get out of that is making new friends, feeling like a stronger member of the paddling community in Whitehorse. It's also really exciting to watch others enjoying the sport and gaining confidence and learning something new. And it's also an opportunity for myself to develop my skills and become a better paddler as well with like a really supportive group of people around me.
Well, that sounds great. Thanks for sharing that, Courtney. You guys, it's interesting to hear people's volunteer experiences. I really appreciate you taking the time to introduce yourselves with that. And I'm just going to double check. Did anybody else join our conference call that I'm not aware of? Okay, I think it's just the four of us then. So let's move on. Volunteering, if you're following along in the slides or if you've had a look at them, volunteering, as explained on slide 7, is really fundamental, and you've also shown this in your answers, to a healthy and democratic society. It builds relationships that are vital for strong, inclusive, and connected communities. And statistics show us that Canadian volunteers make a significant contribution to society, and that about one quarter of these dedicate their time to recreation and sport. So it's kind of cool to think that out of everybody who volunteers, 25% are volunteering in our fields of recreation and sport. I kind of like that. So if we see volunteering as mutually beneficial, not only to the people who volunteer, but also to our groups and organizations and to our communities, then we can be more successful when we go to look for, to find volunteers and when we want to keep them. So volunteers are one of the most important ways in which we can increase our capacity for recreation. It does take time, it does take work, but there's always money involved, but not to the same extent as hiring somebody or anything like that. And the neat thing about using volunteers is that they bring interests and different passions, and they can help you deliver a greater variety of programs and events. So over the past 50 years, the way that volunteering has taken place or the nature of volunteering has changed. There are many different reasons why people volunteer, and there's also many different skills and interests that volunteers contribute. So I'm just curious, I want to hear your thoughts on how you think volunteering has changed. And I know that most of you are not 50 like I am, but just in your lifespan, how do you think volunteering has changed? And I'll pop that. I am back in the chat. My internet's popping in and out, so I think I can post the question there. And this time around, we're going to start with Spider. So you know, some ideas that I've had is maybe it's a level of commitment, maybe it's the reason why people volunteer. I'm not really sure, but let's see if we can explore that a bit. So, Spider, from your perspective, how has volunteering changed over the past 50 years?
Well, I guess it's become more inclusive of the people that are volunteering. I think that before it was, you know, there'd be a need and people would be solicited and they'd be told what to do. But now I think, and this was elaborated on by Brenda Robinson in yesterday's presentation that she did, which was pretty darn cool. Thanks for the heads up on that. On volunteering post COVID, is that, you know, people want to know, you know, the why of their they want you to step up and help out, and that they want to be, you know, actively part of a solution, and to be consulted and conferred with, and to be suitably acknowledged and thanked genuinely.
I like how you put that, like people need to know the underlying reason. It's not just, well, we need someone to clean the toilets. There's got to be a deeper meaning to it and see themselves as part of the team that's offering a solution to whatever's happening. So thanks for sharing that. I just heard a beat before we go on to Courtney. Did somebody just join the call?
Yes. Hi, that was me, Jack Boyden. I had some problems at the airport, but thought I'd join now. I hope that's okay.
Great. Thanks, Jack. And so I'm just going to, there's just a few of us on the call. So what we do is we go around a circle and we share sort of our thoughts on something. And that's how a lot of the learning in our Recreation North learning events takes place. And so I'll let you listen, but I am going to ask you to introduce yourself after we get to the end of our circle. So our circle right now started with Spider. So that's who was talking when you joined. And Courtney, do you mind just introducing yourself again? Because Jack's new in Pelly Crossing, so it might be interesting for him to know where you guys are each from. So maybe, Courtney, if we go to you in the circle, you can introduce yourself once again and just share how you think volunteering has changed over the past, over your lifespan. I won't say the past 50 years for you, sorry.
Hi, good morning. My name is Courtney. I'm the Community Recreation Manager at Kwamandan First Nation in Whitehorse. And that's a really good question about how volunteering has changed over the last 50 years. Is that sort of a question about how it's changed for myself, like over my lifetime, or sort of how I've observed it in general?
Either way, you can answer it from either way up. One, how you've experienced changes or what you've seen in others when you've been working with other people who are volunteering.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess really simply, I think when I was younger, volunteering was sort of something I had to do. Like it was something where, you know, to graduate high school, you need a certain number of hours, or, you know, with like a church organization, you had to like help out and volunteer, where I think now as an adult, it's a lot more, like it's something I want to do. It's something that's exciting. It's something that I get a lot of fulfillment from. So for myself, I would say, yeah, it's changed from something where I felt like I sort of had to do it, where now it's something that I'm really excited about doing.
That's great. That's interesting to see that perspective because, you know, that is something, you know, we've sort of told kids that they have to volunteer, right? And you can't graduate if you haven't. So that makes people maybe not think as fondly of volunteering. So then we have to get them to that point where, you know, they see their role in it, as Spider mentioned, or as you mentioned, is something that they really want to do and they're passionate about. So thanks for sharing that, Courtney. Thorsten, let's go to you, and then we'll go to Jack after Thorsten. So, Thorsten, if you could introduce yourself once more for Jack, and then just share how you think volunteering has changed over the past half century or over your lifespan.
Hi, Jack. It's Thorsten here. I'm from Fort Providence in the Northwest Territories, and right now this week I'm in Yellowknife, and my job is physical literacy, so I'm trying to help and bring sports programming to the communities of the Detroit region. Volunteering change, I think we're just getting way too busy in life, and I think with families, with work, with all the commitments that we have, it's harder and harder to find time to volunteer. I think that's something that's changed. Life has become a little bit more busy and a little bit more complicated with the way that communication works, the way that it seems like everything is much, much faster right now and need to keep up with it. So I think that's the biggest change for me.
Yeah, and I think that, you might have noticed, Thorsten, that there's even volunteering online now, so you don't actually have to be somewhere in person. You can do things, participate online and do things to, and that's a result of people being maybe busy as a result of the pandemic, things like that. So, yeah, it's definitely more challenging to get a longer-term, bigger volunteer commitment out of people like there used to be perhaps when I grew up. So thanks for sharing that. So, Jack, if you'd like to introduce yourself and if you feel like weighing in on the question, how has volunteering changed over the past 50 years or over your lifespan from your understanding, that would be great.
Okay, so my name is Jack Boyden. I'm Assistant Recreation Coordinator for the Selkirk First Nation in Pelly Crossing. I've been there about 11 months now. I'm originally from Toronto area. So a big change for me. But to get into the question, honestly, I just kind of think for like my age group anyways, being like the 25-ish age, I think a lot more of the volunteering has been used for like personal gain, such as like resume building and doing it kind of knowing that it's going to help you get a better chance of getting that job and stuff like that. Does that make sense to you guys?
Absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, personally, like, I knew I did that a lot, like, in high school. Like, I picked, like, the stuff that I wanted to volunteer at that would look the best for me in my future and probably leave me with the best chance of, like, getting the job that I would want.
Yeah, I think that that's something for sure that comes out through the slides and through the research is that, today people are often asking, what's in it for me? What do I need to get out of it? What do I want to get out of it if I'm going to volunteer? Which is a little bit of a mind shift from, give to other people, right? Like I'm doing this for somebody else. And,
yeah.
There's advantages and disadvantages to that, I guess, but that is definitely a shift. So thanks for identifying that. Anything else to add to your thoughts about how things have changed like that?
I was just looking at like the virtual volunteering as well. Like now more than definitely the past 50 years, there's no like virtual volunteering with like the social media and all that stuff. So, yeah, I think so. That's huge now. But that was just briefly touched upon.
Yeah, and when public recreation emerged like 100 years or more ago, really people would volunteer to provide experiences for other people. So, the inner city kids is something that comes to my mind. Or, even think of neighborhoods where, like, neighbors knew who needed what and would help and support each other. And so I think volunteering really emerged from building a stronger society because we know that some of us are more fortunate than other people and we can support people, but then they might do something else that they can do to contribute. So I think that's where it emerged from, but it definitely has taken a bit of a change. And if we're relying on volunteers for some of our programs, we need to understand where people are coming from when they volunteer today.
Exactly.
So we have to make sure that we set our volunteer experiences up so that people can, develop new skills to build their resume, as you mentioned, Jack, or to, feel like they're part of a solution, which is what Spider mentioned, or even as Courtney, as you mentioned, something that they really want to do. Because I don't know about you guys, but I don't think I would want to go and volunteer to clean toilets. That might not be at the top of my volunteer list. We have to sort of structure how we're programming recreation so that we can provide those types of experiences. So if you've had a chance to look through the slides, you'll notice that slides 12 to 14 share a few of the benefits of volunteering. So I just want to ask you what you think. Like, are these benefits that you see in your community? Are there any others? So really, what are the benefits? And I'll pop this question in the chat for those of you who are in the chat. What are the benefits of having volunteers engaged in recreation in your community? And let's start this time. Courtney, can we start with you? And then we'll go to Jack, and then Thorsten and Spider.
Sorry,
Courtney, what are...
Yeah,
Yes, right. What are some of the benefits that you see of having volunteers engaged in recreation in your community? Like, why do we want it, why is volunteering important in recreation?
I think one of the first things that comes to mind is when we're having like bigger community events or like those sort of bottleneck times when things are really busy, to have more help, more support, because like with recreation, I think there is that fluctuation. Like you have sort of your consistent programming, but then every now and then you might want to do like a big community event where, yeah, you'll need some more support. And then also just like it's a way to pull more people in to like network and build those relationships with people. And especially for youth too, like to have youth volunteers, it's a really great way to get them exposed to the job. And potentially that's something where we could provide training later on, where maybe they could actually work as a recreation leader, like as a youth leader. So I think there's just there's so many benefits.
Yeah, that's great. I like that idea of you generating interest for people and pulling them in so that they start to feel part of the recreation community, because then, you know, as we have more people, you might have more participants, but you also have more people who are potentially leaders to help with your programs. So thanks for sharing that, Courtney. Jack, over to you. What do you think are some of the benefits of having volunteers engaged in recreation in your community?
Yeah, so I'm just going to kind of touch up on what she said. I think exactly with the bigger capacity and variety of recreation activities offered to the community, so then we can drive up the skill level, we can offer a different variety of sports and stuff offered, and it just improves the community because there's just a lot more options around for people to join in on, participate, volunteer in, and build that sense of community.
Yeah, exactly. Is there anything else, like, you know, if you're drawing people in, anything else that you think that might be a benefit of once you've drawn those volunteers in? What happens next? What's better because of it?
Build social capital.
Yeah, for sure. So something that we can't really place a numerical value on, but is definitely really important, especially in our small communities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great, thanks. And Thorsten, over to you. What do you think are some of the benefits of having volunteers engaged in recreation in your community?
Well, I mean, you said it already. It's community building in a way, bringing everybody together. Everybody has talents, and then coming together and making the community stronger and better.
Yeah, so really that community building focus.
Yep.
Thanks. Spider, how about yourself? What are some of the benefits that you see when you involve volunteers and you engage them in recreation?
I think a big one on the sports side is that, you know, the cost to get things done or the cost to even offer programs is significantly reduced. So instead of having to find staff or pay for staff, but you can get some volunteers, and with careful support, you know, they act as staff. I think as well that, you know, the benefits of having volunteers engaged is that it creates that sense of family, that sense of unity. You look at, you know, past Olympics, you know, the phrase that Canadian Tire seems to be proprietary with now is we all play for Canada. So whether we're athletes, officials, coaches, but also, you know, that feeling of belonging that volunteers are, you know, we're all contributing to Canada, the Canadian mosaic. So that sense of family and unity, I think, is huge.
Yeah, and it can be a great way to involve newcomers in your community into what you're doing as well, right?
You bet.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Those are some really good points that you all pointed out. As you might be aware of, the Framework for Recreation in Canada, this is shown on slide number 11, is goal number 5 of the Framework for Recreation is about building capacity. And volunteers are definitely a priority. They're essential to the delivery of community recreation across Canada. And as you've all mentioned, the capacity for recreation grows when we value, train, and support our volunteers. So really, I think some of the things that we need to do is we need to update our strategies to address some of the things that you said earlier, like how volunteering has changed. So we need to change how we do that, because if people are looking for what's in it for them, they're looking for where their passion is, things like that, we have to try and meet that. And I think the other thing that's really important is, and I'm not quite sure how to shift this, but if I think of the demographic of volunteers, I think of young people and old people and not as many people in between. So I think it's important for us, too, to try and find ways through all of our programs to engage volunteers who are from all ages and also from groups who might face constraints or barriers to participating in recreation. I think a couple of the other things for an individual, and this is shown on slide number 12, or actually, 13. For individuals or for all of us, it builds confidence, competence, connections, so relationships, and community. And I think you've mentioned most of those. Volunteering really provides people with a sense of purpose. And there's a really neat link on the bottom of slide 14 to the power of positivity. And it's an article about volunteering is good for your mental health. And it was, hopefully that link still works. If it doesn't, let me know. But it was really interesting to read how helping others reduces stress. It decreases the risk of depression. It makes us happier, and it helps our brain work better. So there's a whole bunch of other reasons why volunteering is good for us in recreation because of the personal health benefits as well. So keep in mind, I think this call is a little shorter than what I normally anticipate them. I'm just about at the end here, but keep in mind that volunteers today have personal goals that influence their volunteer choices. So you're going to next week sort of look at some strategies and how you might adjust what you do to make sure that you can target those volunteers through your programming. For this week, what I'd like you to do is complete the short survey, what kind of volunteer are you? And then your required learning activity for the week, or RLA as it stands for, is to get to know some of your local volunteers. And it's just two people, and I know I've got a 10-minute interview listed there. You can do it in 5 minutes if you want to. And it can be a friend even. It doesn't have to be somebody you don't know. And then just sort of share what you've learned about your local volunteers. And so that's your activity for the week. So, Jack, normally I have about an hour-long conference call because normally we have a few more people on the call, and it's a little shorter today. So I just want to do one more round and see if anyone has any other thoughts that they'd like to share in general about volunteers and recreation or what stood out for you from this week. So let's start with Thorsten, and then we'll go to Spider, Courtney, and Jack.
It was interesting to me to learn that, yeah, online volunteering is actually a thing, and that was very interesting to see. Other than that, I think the volunteering becomes more as paid positions as well, sadly enough. There was a survey done in Germany where they looked at, and table tennis is fairly big. It's one of the top 10 sports in Germany. There's over 800,000 people playing table tennis, and out of those are 50,000 coaches. And now there's 50,000 coaches that were volunteers are now shifting over to being paid positions. So definitely interesting to see the shift happening from volunteering into paid position in the near future, for sure.
And what do you think that's going to do to the sport, Thorsten?
Well, make it harder and harder, because less coaches will mean less participants. And so it will be, will be hard on the sport itself.
I think
that more and more too is like the expectation is to being paid instead of just to volunteer. So I find that more and more happening too.
Yeah, and I often think that when a coach expects to be paid, then some of that cost gets transferred to participants. So now we're putting up barriers to participating, right? Because we're adding or increasing the cost.
Yeah, that may be true. I think in the North it's still not, because we have not so much, but we have funding available, and I think people expect free rather than pay for things. But yeah, that's another different story.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks for sharing. That's interesting about that comment from a different country. So thank you. Spider, any other thoughts to share or anything that stood out for you from this week from the content or any thoughts about your knowledge of volunteering?
You know, I was really intrigued with what Brenda Robinson said on that recruiting, maintaining volunteers for post-COVID. She talked about, you know, people want to be able to, you know, engage and around interaction to engage, involve, and be included, to be engaged, involved, to be included, but also that they wanted volunteers needed flexibility, adaptability, and responsiveness, so that, you know, it's not just the needs of the host who's looking for volunteers, but recognize that, as Thor was alluding to, that, you know, with people being busy and engaged in different things, that, you know, you got to be flexible, adaptable, and responsive to their interests and availability. So I thought that was pretty cool. You know, I always wondered, you know, why Yellowknife doesn't have a volunteer bureau and what it would take to set something like that up. Because, you know, if there was sort of some one-stop shopping that an interested person could go to and then, you know, put in their interests and skills and then have that then generate a list of what might be applicable and try to match people looking for volunteers and volunteers wanting to help out. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, that's interesting about not having a volunteer place in NWT, because the only one I could find when I looked it up, it's under the Explore More resources, is the United Way for Northwest Territories. But in the Yukon, we actually, Courtney and Jack, I'm not sure if you're aware, but we do have a volunteer bureau and there's lots of resources and support. And they even offer funding for planning and programs and things like that too. So Nunavut doesn't have anything either. So it's interesting. Spider, I'm wondering. Go ahead.
I always thought that if it comes time for for the games to be hosted in NWT, like an Arctic Winter Games or a Canada Winter Games, that, were there a volunteer bureau, then, you know, people could register and be assigned, versus at the moment it's maybe who a board member knows that might be willing to step up, or who, an athlete or somebody from this family could be enticed to step up. There's no formal way to engage people to, you know, either find them or for them to be listed so they can be found.
Yeah, and that's a challenge if you don't have that. Again, in the Yukon, our volunteer bureau actually posts volunteer opportunities on the Yukon Work InfoNet, which is where people can go to look for jobs. So it's a little bit of a matching service. So, yeah. Might be something to think about down the road in the future. So thanks for sharing that. Spider, I did have one question. Do you know if there is a link from the webinar that Brenda Robinson did yesterday that would be shareable with
others? I know that they're sending a link to people who are registered. I mean, I can ask specifically if I can share the recording. It was, you know, apart from the content being very strong, she was an amazing presenter. It was like watching a master class on how people could present. She spoke like for 55 minutes, didn't refer to any notes, and it just flowed seamlessly. It was amazing how she spoke.
Yeah, she's been doing that for a very long time, so she is very well known.
I can explore if there's a link to the recording. Certainly timely and sparked my interest in this week's course.
Yeah, maybe you could just share it as a post this week if you happen to get it, because that might be helpful for others. Thank you. Courtney, any final thoughts or reflections on this week's content or how it might pertain to you and what you do in your work?
Yeah, for sure. I thought that it was really cool. Like, we don't often, or I would say, like, ever pull in volunteers. And this learning event has been a really great, like, eye-opener into, like, what, like, these resources we might really be missing out on. And it's cool, like, to get to know your volunteers, template. It's like a cool exercise where, like, we could gather this information and then pull people in when it works. Like I like the idea of that sort of like preemptive thinking rather than being like, okay, we've got this like big event going on, we're understaffed, what are we going to do? Being like, oh, we already know we have so-and-so and so-and-so from the community who's interested in volunteering, and we already know, like, have all this information gathered, so then we can reach out to them and it will feel less chaotic and also be like really exciting to like work with community members in a different way.
Yeah, and I think when you actually go out and ask people, it's harder for them to say no too, right? Like if you target them, but you're targeting them because you know it's a good fit for them, right? So you say, you know, I'd love for you to help out with this because you've told me before that you're interested in such and such and this is a really good fit or something like that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. Thanks for weighing in on that, Courtney. And Jack, how about yourself? I know I kind of put you on the spot with your very first conference call with the Rec North Training Program, but do you have any reflections from this week's content or anything from your experiences that you wanted to add or share or contrast from Toronto to Pelly Crossing? Or
yeah, so the main thing I just wanted to talk about was just how I was very surprised to find out how big volunteering actually is in Canada. Like 2.6% of the GDP is huge. Like I was astonished by that number. What's that, $55.9 billion you said on the slide. And so just to think about how that contributes economically for Canada is huge. And maybe we should be putting more resources into like the marketing and stuff and getting that out to people, I think.
Yeah, it is big. And the thing is you can see from the stats that are kind of old, we haven't been doing a lot. We haven't invested a lot in volunteering in Canada lately. So I'm not even sure if those stats would still hold true or if we would have seen some decreases since that time. Because there were big pushes around volunteering, 10, 20 years ago, but I haven't heard a lot about it on the national scene lately, right? There's too many other priorities.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. And what about in Pelly Crossing? Have you had any experience working with volunteers there?
Yeah, it's tougher. It's a lot tougher just being such a small community, I think. And, a lot of people are always wanting to get paid and whatnot. But the people that do volunteer, there's a small niche group that do. And I think it's important trying to reach out to the few high school kids there, trying to get them volunteering as well. But it's a struggle.
Yeah, for sure.
No. Do we know if whether they're volunteering questions on the census? Either the long form or the short form?
I think there is on the long form. And I don't know. I have to have a look at it. But I think in the Yukon, we just released a Canadian Index of Wellbeing Yukon version report. And I seem to recall that there was volunteering in there, but I might be wrong. But it's been hard. I haven't been able to find any updated statistics that easily. Like most of when you go on to Stats Canada, which is where all the census data goes, it's quite a bit older, the reports that are actually there. So kind of an interesting thing for you to be able to touch in with a couple of volunteers in your community for your activity this week and sort of get a sense of what drives them, what their interests are, and to share that back with us to see if we're on track with how we think volunteering has changed and what we think motivates volunteers in our community in this day and age. I do have one last question. Sorry, it came to mind as we were going around, and I'm wondering if you want to share with me how you feel about honorariums. Is an honorarium, is a person still a volunteer if they receive an honorarium, and what are the pros and cons to those? So one last round. Spider, let's start with you this time.
I'm for if they've incurred personal expenses on behalf of who their host or who they're volunteering for, then that should be paid back and paid back very quickly. Money is a sensitive thing. I think that for when they're looking for mission staff, for example, for Sport North for games like Arctic Winter Games, there's questions about whether if you want a teacher to volunteer or be a sometimes it's they're a coach or a major official, a head official, then, the teacher would otherwise perhaps need to pay for a substitute. And in turn, that if this person's so keen, could there be money made available, not necessarily as an honorarium, but to pay the substitute fees is sometimes a question. So there are some gray areas, I think, that you could look at on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, that's a good thing to raise, because when we're dealing with sport in small communities, we're often relying on teaching staff, and they end up taking personal days sometimes, or actually can't leave their community to go with their team and coach. So good point there as
GNWT, well. GNWT, you can make application to the Government of the Northwest Territories to get, I don't know if it's called special leave, or I don't know if you remember the title, but they do accommodate, staff to volunteer at major events to the benefit of the territory, which I think is cool.
That's
often
good.
You need to be a head official. So I will often, as an AD, write, please consider releasing, Jane Doe to assist her in her role of, being a key official to make the games, to make the games go, stuff like that. So that's interesting.
Thanks for sharing that. Courtney, any thoughts on honorarium and volunteers?
Yeah, I definitely think, depending on what the volunteer is providing, it's certainly worthwhile to look into an honorarium. Like, the first thing that comes to mind would be for an elder or a knowledge keeper. To provide an honorarium.
And you would still consider them a volunteer?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know Revenue Canada, I think it's anything over $500, you're supposed to issue a T4A. So technically, honoraria, if people are receiving it, and more than $500, we're supposed to be giving them forms so that they actually get taxed on it. But I don't know if that happens regularly or not. So thanks, Courtney. Jack, any thoughts on honoraria, in your community or in your experiences?
Yeah, I think they're all right. They're pretty good, especially in the small community. Like I said, when it's harder to get volunteers out, it's definitely a nice little incentive, and I think the people really appreciate it. I don't like using them all the time, but you got to pick and choose, I think, and the person that will be receiving and the thing that they're doing.
So being a little bit selective and maybe even having a policy about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Great, thanks. And Thorsten, any thoughts on honoraria and volunteers?
Yes, I think honorarium is how to explain this. I think as a volunteer, you should not accept an honorarium, but that's just me. On the national level with Table Tennis Canada, we are not allowed to receive honorariums. We can receive per diems. So when we're outside our community, we receive money to pay for the food or who will provide it. So there's no expenses. Of course, is there any expenses that you have while traveling or while being on the road? That's should not be covered by an honorarium, but just by an expense sheet. So that's how we work, or how I work with my organizations.
Right, so that's similar to what Spider suggested, that if people are incurring expenses as a volunteer, it's nice to cover their costs, but maybe we're not covering the cost of their time, for example.
I think personally it's a dangerous precedent.
But I think that's where a policy is really.
Yep. If the word gets out that they're doing something that they'd otherwise be encouraged do and they do for free before, and then all of a sudden you're paying for it, then people are then going to look for the money. Happy to volunteer if I get paid this, and there's already and it's a poor expression to use, but a sentiment of entitledness sometimes, that if I'm doing this, I expect to be paid. And while I do recognize that there's significant poverty in some of the more remote communities, and depending on people's life circumstances, but it's a slippery slope.
Definitely, yeah, for sure. Well, thanks. I think that's an interesting conversation. I'm going to add that to my regular call when we have that, because that's something I always am curious to hear people's perspectives on. So I just would like to thank all of you for taking the time out of your days, which I know are busy. This is a very busy time of year. So thank you for joining this week's call. Once I end the conference call recording, please stay on the line if you have any questions about this week's required learning activity or anything else. And we will have a call next week as well, and then you'll wrap up, and some of you will have finished your certificate in Northern Recreation Management after this learning event. So thanks, and welcome again, Jack. I look forward to reading your activity for the week and to you joining next week's call as well. So masito, merci, kwanashish, and have a wonderful end of April, I guess it is.
Thanks, Caroline. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.